important. Now let's open our Bibles today and open them to Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. I'm continuing the series in parables and miracles, and today we're going to talk about the parable of the rejoicing shepherd. The parable of the rejoicing shepherd. You know, I did some research this past week about some of the funny names of teams, like high school football teams in Texas. And you don't have to go outside the state of Texas because there's some pretty strange ones. You might recognize some of these towns or teams, and maybe you played on these teams or you played against these teams, so you can kind of go whoop if you recognize one. But in Texas, we have the Little River Bumblebees. That's their team. There's the Killeen Kangaroos. There's the Taylor Fighting Ducks. How about this one? There's the Springtown Fighting Porcupines. There's the San Saba Armadillos. They got run over in their last game. The New Braunfels Unicorns. That's their mascot. Up in Atlanta, Texas, they're the Atlanta Rabbits. I heard that was named after a Coach Rab that used to be the coach. Seriously. So they're, let's go Mighty Rabbits, you know. In Hamlin, Texas, the team is called the Pied Pipers. In Grandview, they're the Zebras. But two of my favorites, there are the Hutto Hippos. That's their mascot. And in Dallas, at the Hockaday School, their mascot, they're called the Daisies. But that's not the wildest one. I did some research, and up in Kent, Connecticut, there's a high school that the name of their team mascot, they are called the Screaming Pterodactyls. How'd you like to be a cheerleader there? Give me a P try to spell that sometime. Well, I did that research to try to prove something. I tried to find one single sports team that were called the Lambs. Couldn't find one. You just, you know, you hear a lot about the Fighting Tigers, the Bulldogs, the Eagles, you know, the Lions. But have you ever heard of a team called the Mighty Lambs or the Fighting Sheep? No. Because you don't think of lambs as being very strong. Well, it's interesting that when the creator of the universe, who made all the animals and made us, when he decided to compare us to an animal in the animal kingdom, we are compared to a lamb, sheep, more than any other animal. In other words, the creator has determined that the lamb is the mascot of the human race. And the only thing a lamb really needs is a good shepherd. And the good news is Jesus is that shepherd. And we're going to learn from this parable today about how we relate to Jesus, the good shepherd. You're welcome to stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 10. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. He said, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, he is happier, the parable of the rejoicing shepherd, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Lord, I know there are people here today that have wandered away from you. And I'm thankful for those faithful 99ers that are here, always faithful. But Father, help us today to understand that you have your arms open to every wandering lamb. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, why do you think the Bible compares us to sheep? Well, I read a shepherd one time, and he used three words to describe sheep. He said, sheep are dumb, they are directionless, and they are defenseless. They're dumb. They're not very smart. Have you ever seen a lamb show at the circus? You ever seen any trained lambs doing tricks? No, they're not the brightest, you know, knife in the drawer. Also, they're directionless. They're always getting lost. I mean, you have homing pigeons and you take dogs and cats and they can find their way back home. But sheep just wander off. They can be led astray. They're directionless. And they're defenseless. I mean, you think about most other animals. They have teeth or they have claws or they have a hard shell or something. But poor lambs don't have anything. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, all we like sheep have wandered away. We've turned to our own way. So because we all have the tendency to wander away, Jesus gives this parable about how he is like a shepherd who goes after every single lamb that wanders away. And so let's just learn four lessons from this passage of scripture. Number one, because God cares for everyone, we shouldn't look down on anyone. That's the first thing Jesus was teaching here. And notice the words that he gave again. He said, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Now, the focus of this whole chapter has been on children, both literal children and spiritual children. This is the sixth time that Jesus used that term children or little ones. It's the word paideion in Greek. We get our word pediatrics from that. And we've already studied how Jesus said that we have to become like children if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, he's talking about these little ones who believe in me. And he's saying, don't you look down on them, because they are the ones that make up the kingdom. Now, it's interesting here that he talks about their angels. And I just need to make a comment on that, because when you look at that verse of scripture, that is the one that some people have used to suppose that people have a guardian angel. He says their angels. Now, you know, I just happen to have written a book on angels too, in which I address this at full length. But the term guardian angel never appears in the Bible. But some people teach, and even there are some groups of Christians that teach, that every person is given an angel when they're born, and that angel stays with them until they die, like a guardian angel. But that's not at all what Jesus is saying here. Look at his words again. He says, they're angels in heaven. Look at the face of the Father. You know, all the angels could say are our angels, they're angels, because the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14 that are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve? So I don't think the Bible teaches that you have one guardian angel, but the good news is we have thousands and thousands and thousands of angels available, and sometimes they do guard us in times of danger. And so the focus Jesus is giving here is on little children who believe on him. You know, children were important to Jesus, and children are important to Jesus. You know, I became a Christian when I was 9 years old, a child. I wonder how many of you in this room would hold up your hand and say, Pastor, I became a Christian when I was 12 years old or younger. Anybody here? Anybody else? Look at that. Most everybody. I came to know Jesus when I was a child. And because children are important to Jesus, they should be important to us. So don't ever look down and say, hey, that's just a child. Because they're important. Now let's move on to the shepherd part. Number two, Jesus is the great shepherd who rescues one lamb who has wandered away. Now this is the parable itself. Let's read it again. He said, if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered away? Now if you know your Bible, you know that there's a similar parable over in Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15, Jesus gives three parables about three lost things. He talks about the lost sheep, similar to this parable. He talks about a lost coin and a lost son, the prodigal son. But most Bible scholars believe that in Luke 15, the parable of the sheep represents salvation. It represents Jesus going after a lost person, because it says that there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. But in Matthew 18, this parable, although it sounds the same, most Bible scholars don't think this is talking about Jesus going after a lost person. It represents Jesus going after one of these little ones who believe in him. In other words, a Christian who wanders away from fellowship with God. You know, I'm looking at some people right now that you may be here physically, but in your heart, in your spirit, you might have wandered away from God. Because, you know, the Bible talks about, God talks about some people who draw near to me with their lips. He says, but their hearts are far from me. You know, like that old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Mike, there's a phrase in it that every time I sing it, I think it's true. It says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's just our tendency. If we don't actively seek to stay in close, intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, we will wander away. away. It could be that you're there right now. I mean, you're here, you're in church right now, but your heart, your mind is wandered away from God. And Jesus brought you here today so that the shepherd could call you to come back to him. Now, we know that Jesus is the shepherd both in Luke 15 and Mark 18, because here's what the Bible says in John 10, 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd." Now, you know, as I was preparing for this message, I thought, you know what? I could just talk about Jesus rescuing wandering sheep, but I'd really like to share some actual stories of how he's done that. And so I posted on my Facebook page for some people just to send me some stories about how Jesus, the good shepherd, rescued you as a Christian when you wandered away. And I got lots and lots of stories, too many stories to share, but I want to share a couple of them with you. In the 1980s, I was pastor of First Baptist Church of Oneonta, Alabama. And there was a family in this church, wonderful husband and wife, Pat and Don. They had four beautiful daughters. Don contracted Hodgkin's disease and died when he was 43 years old. And I had not heard from one of his daughters in years and years and years until Kelly, Lida Conway, wrote me this week. And she said, "I want to tell you about how I wandered away from the shepherd and how he reclaimed me." And let me just read part of her email to you. She writes, "I once heard about what a shepherd used to do when he had a sheep that kept wandering off like me. The shepherd would break one of the legs of the wandering sheep and carry it around his neck until the leg mended. During this time, the lamb became so dependent on the shepherd to provide what it needed to survive that when it was healed, it never strayed from the shepherd again." Well, she writes, "That is me. And I think that is why I felt so compelled to write you." And I won't give you all what she said, but she got married to a high school sweetheart and they started the American dream. They both had great jobs, beautiful home. Turned out her husband was an alcoholic. They had a beautiful daughter and their life began to unravel. They stopped going to church. They turned away from God. And so let me just pick up with the story with the crisis. Kelly writes, "After a huge argument with my husband one night, I knew I had to leave. The next morning after he left for work, I packed as many belongings as I could and put my daughter in the car and set off. At the time, I didn't even know where I was going. By the evening, everyone was aware we were gone and phone calls started pouring into my cell phone. Some I ignored, others I did not. From a hotel room, I spoke with my mom. And she begged me just to come to her house and have dinner, and then I could go wherever I liked. I agreed. The next afternoon, we pulled into the driveway to find her standing there. All she said was, 'My God, you look like the grapes of wrath. Get out of that car.'" And I have to smile when I say that because I know Pat, her mother. Then she says, "We stayed there for over 2 years. I was sick and I weighed less than 100 pounds. My mom and Clyde," that was Pat's second husband, "nursed me as if I were a child. Slowly, I started going back to church where I was brought up, and I remember sobbing through almost every service. I was so heartbroken, devastated, angry, bitter, guilt-ridden. I lost my house, I lost my job, I lost my marriage, and I lost a lot of so-called friends. That is when God sent an unlikely person to my door, an old friend who also went to our church. And after many talks, he finally said, 'You're not the girl I remember. You are sarcastic, which is only veiled anger, by the way. You have forgotten that you are here to praise God. You've got to get your act together, sister. I guess sometimes we need someone to hold a mirror to us and show us where the real problems are hiding.'" And here's what she concludes. She said, "Then one day, I don't even remember the exact circumstances, but I fell on my face and I handed it all over to God. I prayed for him to save my children's father and to change me." And she writes, "I'm happy to report that I got to watch my ex-husband and my daughter baptized that very year." She writes, "I am now at a point of restoration. In August of this year, on what would have been my 15th wedding anniversary, my ex-husband asked me to marry him again. I wish I could say all the obstacles are gone, but you know that the devil hates it when you're on the good road and he'll put out all kinds of things to trip you up. But we put on our armor every morning and we trust God to guide our steps. She says, I thought that you might could use a little of my story to help the person that sits there in silence, broken. So this is for the sheep who have wandered from God. He loves you. He will find you. He will carry you. And he'll provide all that you need. I wonder, is there anybody here like Kelly? That you just drifted away from God and you find yourself at the bottom of a hole? Maybe you're watching on television or you're listening to an audio of this message and that's where you are right now. You've drifted away from God. I'm here to tell you that the loving shepherd will call you back and wrap you up in his arms and receive you back. That's what the point of this parable is, that when a Christian wanders away from God, the good shepherd goes after that person. Well, here's the third lesson that we learn. And this is pretty amazing. The shepherd is happier about a rescued lamb than about the safe sheep. Isn't that amazing? He says, and if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. So join me one night there on the hillside as the shepherd is counting his sheep. He knows all of them by name. They know his voice according to John chapter 10. 96, 97, 98, 99. Where's Snowflake? I mean, she was just here earlier. Where's Snowflake? Count again real quick. 96, 97, 98, 99. Snowflake's not here. That shepherd leaves those 99 sheep on the hill and goes looking. Snowflake! Snowflake! Where are you? Come back to me, Snowflake! He goes searching and seeking for that one lost lamb. And I can just see in the story when he climbs down a little rocky ledge, there's Snowflake. And Snowflake jumps into the arms of the shepherd, and the shepherd takes Snowflake back. And he's so happy. Can you see the smile on his face? He's so happy. He's rejoicing because the one little lost lamb has been returned to the fold. Now, you know, that is so foreign to the way we think about things. I mean, if you're in business and you have 100 items and you only lose one, you say, well, that's just, you know, bound to happen. You know, 1%, that's not bad. And we just sort of write it off. But God's not that way. Listen to me. Every individual is important to God. You know what the attitude sometimes of the world is? It is that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. Have you ever heard that before? It sounds like something Karl Marx would say. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. But actually, it was Mr. Spock on Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. That's what he told Captain Kirk just before he goes in there to do something to the dilithium crystal and die. That's the attitude of the world, that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. But God says, no, no, no. I'm here to tell you that I'm interested in every single individual person. You know, God only saves people one person at a time. He doesn't save groups of people. He doesn't save couples. He saves people one person at a time. And what we're learning from this parable is that every single individual matters to God as if they were the only person on this planet. You know, Jesus could have told the parable, there was a shepherd that had a million sheep. Million sheep. And found that one was gone, and that shepherd left the 999,999 sheep on the hill to go after that one little lamb. You know why? Because every person matters to God. I want you to turn to the person next to you right now and say, you matter to God. Say it right now. You matter to God. Turn and say it to the other person on the other side. You matter to God. God is interested in individuals. Now, you know, a while ago, I talked about the faithful 99ers. You've heard of the San Francisco 49ers? There's also what I call the faithful 99ers. It's you faithful people who I mean, you don't wander away from God. You haven't wandered away from God. You're here. You're the ones that teach. You're the ones that are here every Sunday. You're the one that give your offering to the Lord's work. You're the faithful 99. But I'm here to tell you that when there is one single lost little snowflake who is found and brought back into the fold, that makes the shepherd happier than when all the rest of us 99ers gather here to worship and praise the Lord and study the Bible. Another story from one of my Facebook friends, Joy Johnson, writes this. I was born in a Christian home and I came to know the Lord at an early age. But when I was 13, I drifted off, and over the next few years, I was drawn into spiritual deception that eventually led me to India to become a part of an Eastern cult. One day on a dusty road in India, a group of young believers shared with us hippies the love of Jesus. As I listened to them talk about Jesus, big warm tears flowed down my face. That was the beginning of a personal revival which would take another 12 months to bear fruit. Eventually, while I was listening to Bob Dylan sing, "You Gotta Serve Somebody," I made the choice to serve Jesus. My parents had prayed and wept buckets of tears for me to come back to Jesus, and he brought me full circle. I've claimed Ezekiel 34:16, where God says, "I will search for my lost ones who have strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again." That's how the shepherd rescued this wandering lamb. That's Kelly's story. That's Joy's story. One day they heard the shepherd saying, "Kelly, Kelly, where are you? Joy, Joy, where are you? Could it be that Jesus is calling your name right now?" Listen. Listen with the ears of faith. Is he calling your name? Saying, "Come back to my heart. You're still a Christian. You're still a believer, but you've lost fellowship and intimacy with me. But come back to me." You want to put a smile on the face of the Savior? You want to see the shepherd rejoice? Come running back into his arms today. But there's one other lesson from this passage of Scripture that I just cannot leave without bringing this out. Number four, like Jesus, we should conduct search and rescue missions to those who are missing in action. Your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. I'm talking to the 99ers for a moment. Feel pretty good? Yeah, God bless you. I'm glad that you haven't wandered away from God, but I got a job for you. There's something in this parable that turns because now we are the body of Christ. We're the hands of the shepherd. We're the feet of the shepherd. We're the heart of the shepherd. We're the voice of the shepherd. And so we need to be doing what Jesus did. We need to be going out and seeking and rescuing those people who are at one time close to the Lord, but they have wandered away from God. Now, is that a problem here at Green Acres Baptist Church? You know, every time somebody asks me, "How many members do you have at Green Acres?" I almost feel like I'm lying when I say 15,000. And then I kind of joke about it and I'll just say, "Well, it's 15,000, but the FBI couldn't find half of them." That's kind of my way to. But you know what? That's not true. We know who they are. And we know where they are. And we know where they're not. I asked Ken Warren to dig up some data for me this week. And right now, the Green Acres membership is 15,173 members. And we can't track who comes or who doesn't come to worship, but we can for Sunday morning Bible study. And in the last 12 months, 50% of those members never showed up once for Sunday morning Bible study. And we keep a record of who gives money, and guess what? Over 10,000 of the members never gave one penny last year. 68% of the members of this church are basically AWOL. They're missing in action. And you know, if we're going to do what Jesus did as the rescuing shepherd, there's three ways you got to do it. You got to be aware of it, first of all. I want you to just look around for a moment. Just look around. Who's not here? Who used to be in your Sunday morning Bible study class, but they're not here? Who used to be in the choir and they're not here? Who used to be in your ministry and they're not here? Who used to sit next to you in worship? Who do you used to see and they're just no longer here anymore? We've got to become aware of who these people are. And I think almost all of these people are known by somebody who is one of the faithful 99ers. And then you got to be willing to care enough to do something. To care enough about these lambs that have wandered away. You know, in Genesis chapter 4, when Cain killed his brother Abel, God asked him a question. Hey, where's your brother Cain? And you remember Abel? And you remember what Cain said in Genesis 4? He said, am I my brother's keeper? You know the answer to that question? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. We are the keepers of our brothers and sisters. And it ought to break our hearts that there's so many thousands of lambs who've wandered away from the fold. And we need to be the arms of Jesus and the feet of Jesus and go. And so not only be aware and care, but then I want to dare you. I just want to challenge you. I want to lay before you a challenge is to go find some of those people and rescue them for Jesus' sake. Say, come back into the fold. You know, Galatians 6:1 says, if someone be overtaken in a fault, and that would be a fault dropping out of church, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of humility, watching your own self lest you be tempted. That means tempted to be proud of the fact that you haven't dropped out. And you know, I strongly, strongly believe in the ministry of personal evangelism, going to the lost people and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But can you imagine what would happen to our church if we just went after the church members who've drifted away? It would be an amazing revival. So we need to do that. Everybody needs a shepherd. And Jesus said, I will be that shepherd to you. You know, one of my favorite chapters and one of your favorite chapters, the 23rd Psalm. And I heard a story many years ago that long before the days of television and radio in the United States, people would go to halls and they would be people who would be orators. They would speak and read great pieces of literature. And they were also most of the stage actors, because before microphones and amplification, they had to have very loud voices to fill up a hall. And on one particular evening, there was a famous actor who was reading great pieces of literature. And he was just enthralling the crowd with his voice. And at the end, he said, now, are there any requests? And there was an old preacher, a local preacher there, who stood up and said, sir, would you quote the 23rd Psalm? And the actor said, well, certainly I will, sir, but only if after I quote it, you'll also quote it. And the preacher agreed. And so the great actor took a drink of water and cleared his throat, and he began with a masterful rendition. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And I mean, he just thrilled the crowd with his volume and timbre and the way he regulated his voice. And so that when he came to the final verses of the 23rd Psalm, the entire audience jumped to their feet and cheered and clapped and applauded. And then they sat down, and the old preacher came up to the front. And in a voice that was weak and hoarse from thousands and thousands of preaching, he just began to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He got to the end and he said, my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when he finished, just total silence. And the actor had enough character to stand up and say to the audience, let me tell you the difference. I know the 23rd Psalm, but this man knows the shepherd. It's one thing to know that Jesus is the shepherd. He is a shepherd. But can you say today, the Lord is my shepherd? He's calling your name. Kelly, Joy, Snowflake, put your name in the blank there. Come back to the fold. And here's this great promise from Isaiah about how Jesus will carry us. The Bible says he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Come on back to the fold. Looking for a church? Come on to Green Acres. After all lambs love Green Acres. Father, we thank you for being that shepherd. Not just the shepherd or a shepherd, but the fact that you can be our shepherd, my shepherd. And if there is someone who's wandered away from you today, Lord, I pray they'll just see you as a loving shepherd with your arms open, calling their name. And I pray that those people will literally come running into your arms. And then they will see that smile on your face over the one who has been rescued. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.